In the name of Jesus, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. From his miraculous conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary, through his birth, his infancy, his adolescence, and adulthood, through his life, his ministry, his death on the cross, his resurrection and ascension, our Lord Jesus Christ's existence, his life for you, his death for you, it's all connected together. It's all one thing. There is nothing accidental about it, nothing merely circumstantial. Rather, that life, his innocent sufferings and death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension were all willed by God. It was willed by God for you and for your salvation. It was willed by God so that you and me, sinners that we are, condemned sinners, just like the people of Israel in tonight's Old Testament reading, who said, in obedience to the book of the covenant, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And yet they did not do it. And so it is with you and with me, who know the Ten Commandments, who are confronted with the fact that there are things that the Holy Spirit would be grieved if we would do, and yet we have done them anyway. There have also been things that God the Holy Spirit would have us do that we have neglected to do. We have gone our own way, forgetting about love for neighbor and love for God. And thus it was that for you and me, God sent his Son in the flesh. God sent his Son to be your substitute, to take your place under the law of God and fulfill every jot and tittle of that law on your behalf. And then he, the only just and righteous man who has ever lived in the eyes of God, could be accused of blasphemy, could be counted a sinner, could be punished by God on the cross as the worst kind of sinner, suffer and die, and be raised again. It's all one piece, it's all one life. It's all one work of God's salvation on your behalf. And really, that's the way the entire Bible is. It tells a story from the first chapters of Genesis of the God who created the world to be a perfect home for his creatures, Adam and Eve, and how they rebelled against God, wanting to be their own gods, wanting to be like him, failing to recognize that they were merely creatures of God, entirely dependent upon him for every aspect of their existence. The Bible tells the story of the promised redemption after they had sinned by saying that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. The seed of the woman is our Lord Jesus Christ. So we go through the Old Testament, we go through the Gospels, we go through the Epistles, until finally, at the very end, we have the promise of God, let the one who is thirsty come and drink of the waters of life without price. Let the one who is hungry come. At the very end of tonight's gospel reading, we have these words. And when they, Jesus and the disciples, had sung a hymn, one of the Psalms, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And there again, we see continuity in our Lord Jesus Christ. We see continuity in his work of redemption and forgiveness for you and me. The Mount of Olives was also known as Olivet or Mount Olive. Does that sound familiar? Mount Olive. It should sound familiar. That's a congregation of which we are members. But the Mount of Olives was a hill to the east of Jerusalem, and it overlooked the city across the Kidron Valley. The Mount of Olives was famous for the large number of olive trees that grew there during the time of Christ. And the name Gethsemane is olive press. The Garden of Gethsemane was located on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives is mentioned twice specifically in the Old Testament. The second mention is from the prophet Zechariah. On that day, that is the day of the Lord, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which lies before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall withdraw northward and the other half southward. Then the Lord your God will come and all his holy ones with him. This is a reference to the return in glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to Zechariah, seems like it's going to happen on the Mount of Olives. It's going to touch down there. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Well, a whole lot of things in Jesus' ministry took place on the Mount of Olives. Bethany and Bethphage were located on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. Bethany is where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Bethany is where Jesus frequently stayed during the final week before his crucifixion, maybe at the home of Mary and Martha, maybe at the residence of Simon the leper. We don't know specifically. Mount Olive figured prominently in all the events of Passion Week. Jesus made his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Jesus wept for the Jewish nation for their hardness of heart and unbelief on the Mount of Olives while heading into Jerusalem. He also delivered his famous eschatological discourse, his discourse about the destruction of the city and the end times, right there with the city and the temple before his eyes as he and the disciples stood on the Mount of Olives. According to Luke, Jesus spent his evenings, his nights, with his disciples on the Mount of Olives, including the night of the Last Supper. We're familiar with the prayer in Gethsemane, the agony in the garden. That took place on the Mount of Olives. There, Jesus was betrayed by Judas and arrested. And finally, following his resurrection and his appearance to the disciples for 40 days, he ascended into heaven, and the ascension took place on the Mount of Olives. Now again, what connection does any of this have with tonight's gospel reading? It just seems an obscure reference. But tonight we heard about the institution of the Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, the sacrament of his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. This is the sacrament of the New Testament, God's new covenant with you. The old covenant could not be kept by the people. That is why Jesus came as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of everyone who has ever lived, who ever will live. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God sent Jesus to be the final Passover Lamb of sacrifice. And by his death on the cross, he brought the Passover to an end. He effectively brought the temple to an end, for it would be destroyed in 40 years. And God has established a new and everlasting covenant with his people who are baptized into Jesus and who are kept alive in their faith by the word of God and the sacrament of the altar. Mark tells us about the institution of this sacrament, and he doesn't tell us every detail, none of the evangelists do, but after saying that one of his disciples would betray him, after identifying him as Judas by saying, "The one who dips in the cup with me is the one who will betray me," Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, Mark says, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and they all drank of it. And he said to them in words you are very familiar with, "This is my blood of the covenant, of the testament, the new and final testament God makes with his people in Christ Jesus, which is poured out for many." And then they sang a hymn, one of the Psalms, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. And why did Jesus go there? So he could be betrayed by Judas. Why did he go there? So he could be arrested by the soldiers and the police forces. So he could be slapped in the face and made fun of and mocked and had have his hair and beard pulled. So he could be roughed up as though he were in some dark back alley. So he could be hauled before the Sanhedrin and tried and condemned, even though he was an innocent man. So he could be taken to Pontius Pilate. And even though he was an innocent man and Pilate tried to release him, the priests, the temple officials, most of the leaders of the Jews howled for his blood, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And then, as you know, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was clothed with a purple robe. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. They gave him a reed to hold as though he were some sort of king. Well, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they were mocking him by bowing down before him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They roughed him up, they abused him terribly, and then they took it all off and they loaded him down with the cross. And he carried it to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And there he died in the space of about 6 hours after suffering horrible torment and after bearing the sins of the world, which means he bore and carried away all your sins. He suffered God's wrath in your place, and he died saying, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." See, when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives at the end of the gospel reading, it was for you. It was all part of God's fulfillment of his purposes and his plans for Jesus. There would have been no cross. There would have been no atoning death. There would have been no resurrection and ascension. There would be no forgiveness of sins for you unless Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives. And most importantly, there would be no sacrament of the altar, no body and blood of Jesus Christ given to you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins. It's all a whole. It's all one thing. The proclamation of the gospel, baptism in the name of the triune God into Jesus' death and resurrection, the absolution, the forgiveness of sins you receive by eating and drinking in penitent faith, Christ's body given for you, Christ's blood shed for you, by taking the bread, his body, upon your tongue, and by drinking of the cup that is placed upon your lips. It is all one piece. It is all one thing. It is all one story. Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives so he could be betrayed and abandoned by his disciples, and so he could suffer and die as the one who has completely taken all of your sins and removed them from you, leaving them nailed to the cross where he was your substitute. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.